go, baby!
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
What is up, everybody? Back for another episode of Return of the Empire, Return of the Empire podcast, a live show during the season. 49ers getting you up to date with everything going on. And obviously, it was a down week for the 49ers. Back-to-back losses for the first time since last season. Of course, my name is Emil Fragoso, 49ers insider. Of course, joined to me by Nate Littlefield, who is behind the glass today because Kyle Ledbetter, our producer, has a well-deserved rest of his day off.
Yeah, he did me a big favor this morning. Had a bit of an emergency. Girlfriend's car died. Had to go fix it. So he had to stay late. Shout out Kayla, of course, every episode. So Kyle stayed a little late today and just, you know, the way hours work and everything. And so I'm back here today. I'm going to be even more off my game than normal.
Well, you know who else was off their game? The 49ers.
Oh, funny. So it's fitting then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a pattern, right? You know, When Nate's off his game, Niners are off their game.
Yes.
When Nate's on his game, they're on their game.
Yeah. I try. But man, was I frustrated by that game.
Really?
In Minnesota.
You weren't the only one. I think the rest of us were too.
Oh, man. So disappointing.
Final score 22-17 in Minnesota on Monday Night Football. A game that was close on paper at the end, but honestly not very close if you watched the whole game. I mean, the Niners looked a shade, a half step slow the whole time defensively, especially allowing Kirk Cousins to throw for 378 yards passing, 452 total yards by the Vikings, the most allowed to the Chiefs week 7 of last season. I mean, is that where we start, Nate? Is the defense, like, what happened?
Yeah, so we did a show earlier today. We were talking about this, and I made a big deal about the corners for the Niners making a lot of mistakes. I praised Charvarius Ward in the beginning of the game. And that, I guess, was a mistake because he started to get targeted the rest of the game and was just stupid penalties. He gave up a touchdown with minimal seconds to go. I think it was like 10 seconds to go.
16 seconds on the clock, yes.
Yeah, so just ridiculous stuff. So the corners are going to get a lot of flack. Like, even Demo Lenore, he just kind of missed his assignment, I guess, on Addison in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Kirk missed the pass. He was kind of in the way to disrupt it, but he didn't get a hand on it or anything. It was just kind of a missed throw for a touchdown for the Vikings. But the corners did not look good, but that stems from the defensive line.
It does.
This team is built to rush the quarterback and stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're correct. It's from front to back.
Exactly. This team is built like that. And when they're not getting there, they pressured Kirk Cousins. Did they sack him? No.
Zilch.
Yeah, they hit him a couple times. It wasn't anything crazy.
I believe three quarterback hits total.
That is shocking. And they had some health issues on their O-line as well.
Yeah.
Just sucked.
Yeah, it's not what you want to see on a rebound game.
No,
right?
It's not. Came out honestly with good energy. Came out hot.
Yeah.
First time this year, I'm being a little it's ironic. They did come out hot, but didn't score on their first drive for the first time this season. Even last week when they lost, they scored a touchdown on their first drive.
Yep.
Go out, CMC fumbles in the red zone again for us. And it just put a damper on the whole day.
Yeah, and I want to start with that CMC fumble because I think that's what kind of changed the momentum in the game, because the Niners get the ball second. They win the coin toss, which is the second time all year they've won the coin toss. So the Vikings start. They drive down, and they don't do much. The Niners get the ball, obviously, after the pick. The Niners get the ball. They drive a couple times, get a couple first downs, and then all of a sudden, Chris McCaffrey gets the ball inside the 20 and fumbles it.
Yep.
Second time. In 2 weeks, he's done this.
In the red zone.
Yep, and McCaffrey even took blame for it afterwards, obviously, and the audio was just like, obviously the defense struggled, but it's my fault. It's my fault that we didn't execute early enough, and it's my fault that I made that. I can't have that happen. He even put gloves on after the play because he was having issues with ball handling.
Listen, I love CMC. I'm so happy he's on the team. I mean, it was his fault.
Yeah.
Right? It was. And that's fine. I'm glad he admits it. No one on the team is selfish, and everyone would admit that when they messed up. Even Brock did. I mean, it sucks to see them not do well after they bombed against Cleveland too.
Yeah.
And we got guys in our chat. We got Pike916 saying Kirk Cousins never looked worried about pressure. Mm-hmm. Brock did. Brock did, especially later in the game.
He did.
He was composed for the most part.
Yeah.
He was composed, made some great throws, some great timing throws, mm-hmm. but then kind of bit himself with, you know, trying to
overdo it.
Like predict a route. You know, and like Juwan would get bumped off his route and then it would lead to that first interception.
You're talking about the pick?
Yeah, the first pick specifically. The second one I think was just too much. Yeah. It was just too much pressure on a young guy and it it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine if that happens to a young quarterback like that, but it's just a bad time. You know, it's a bad time for the Niners.
Not great, Bob. Not great.
No.
Look, this Niners team plays well for like half a second and then for some reason feels like it just reverts back to playing poorly. And it's all an execution, right?
It's penalties, I feel like, that really set them back.
Not winning the line of scrimmage on the first down.
For sure.
When they don't win the line of scrimmage, when they don't win in the run game, they struggle. Look at McCaffrey's running. 15 for 45. Purdy was 5 for 19. Kittle had a carry. Mitchell has 1 for -1. They didn't win the run game. When this team doesn't win the run game, we talked about this last week, when they don't win the run game, they struggle to win games because their team is a run-first offense.
Yeah. They couldn't stop them on third down. 8 for 13 are the numbers. But
it was infuriating.
It drove me nuts.
Bananas.
Bananas. Drove me bananas. It's so frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't matter how long the drive was. Mm-hmm. There was one point where I think it was 2nd and 25 for the Vikings.
Didn't matter.
They converted. So
lay up to KJ Osborne.
Yeah.
Then lay up to I believe Addison.
Addison, yeah.
First down.
Yeah.
I mean, every single time they get backed up on a holding call, 3rd and 12, Kirk makes a throw, first down. Here are their drives. Here were their touchdown drives. They were, I'm looking at it right now, 10 play drive, 13 play drive, 5 play drive, 11 play drive, 10 play drive.
Yeah.
You have 4 drives over 10 plays.
Yeah. That, in my opinion, that's perfect football.
Perfect football.
That's perfect football when you have those long drives. The Eagles are pretty good at this, too. Like, it's one thing to be bombing touchdowns all day and, you can complete a big pass, get a big play, whatever. That happens every once in a while.
Yeah.
But if you're running 10-play drives and just wearing out a defense, as Minnesota did, and just taking it to them, mm-hmm. that's how you just dominate teams. You make them exhausted, and mm-hmm. you wear them down. You wear them down over and over again, and
over
you
again.
Can't do anything about it. And when you're getting dumb penalties mm-hmm. or bumping a guy off a route that draws a penalty or just making a stupid mistake and extending that drive that should be a 3-and-out into a 10-play drive that ends in a field goal, it sucks.
Encroachment, Javon Kinlaw.
Mm-hmm.
DPI, Lenore. Illegal contact, like just dumb mental mistake that this veteran-led team doesn't do at least the first 5 weeks of the season, yet here we are now 2 weeks later, and you feel like they're a completely different team. They don't feel like the same team that was just walked all over Dallas on primetime football.
No.
This team feels just like lost right now.
No, it's shocking. I was so high on this team.
Yeah, we both were.
So high on this team.
They played team football. They played winning football, and they went away from that for some reason. I don't know what happened.
I even felt pretty good after the Browns game. Like, okay, wake up call.
Yep.
Guys, weather, great defense. Mm-hmm. Tighten up. Let's tighten up.
And then the Colts put up 38 on them.
Yeah. Yeah. The Colts should have beat them, too.
They should have, but for some weird calls.
It made me sick to my stomach to watch that game.
Final stat from the game, I think it's most telling of just how the game kind of went. 34, almost 35 minutes of possession for the Vikings, 25 minutes of possession for the Niners.
That's the stat I preach every week. That's my favorite stat. That's how you win a game, basically. I know the Niners have had at least one game this year where it was almost 50-50,
mm-hmm.
but it's that's how you, I
it's
mean.
It's about controlling the football and taking advantage of your opportunities.
Controlling the clock.
The Vikings had only had 8 meaningful drives. And they convert on 5 of those 8 drives.
Yeah. It hurts because you kind of think, I'm watching the end of this game and I'm like, this could be the one that decides, you know, if we're getting that week 1 bye in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or if, I mean, what's going to happen to this team? I mean, we don't know. It's so far away, but my confidence is low, and I'm shook from this loss.
At this point, you need to be more worried about, can you win the NFC West?
Yeah. Oh.
That's where you're at right now, because you're they're very lucky Seattle's was on a bye.
Oh my God!
You look at the standings right now. The Niners are 5-2. Guess what? The Seahawks are 4-2.
I hate them so much.
They're
dude.
A game back.
I know. It sucks.
In Seattle, while you might say talent disparity, you saw Geno Smith last year in the playoffs against the Niners defense wasn't great. Is this the same Niners defense it was from last year? I don't think so. Like,
no.
If this Niners team played Seattle right now, it'd be a really close game probably.
What do you think the problem with this Niners team is this year? Because I have a theory.
The defense isn't getting pressure, and the offensive line is struggling.
Yeah. Okay, I meant with just the defense.
Oh, just the defensive line.
That's just the chemistry or what? Just Bosa's holdout?
They're not getting there. They're not getting to the quarterback.
I think a lot of the blame lies on Steve Wilkes.
Really?
I
think it's fair. I think it's fair.
I mean, he's had some. It was slow start for him. I know he got some flack during the Rams game, which was week two, but it's like, all right, chill out, divisional. Stafford's great. He's got great receivers now.
Yeah.
At that point, it was 2-2 and Puka. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, all right, dude, why aren't we getting sacks? I know the Niners have the most interceptions in the NFL, I think at 11 now, which is great. And that stems from the pass rush, but sacks should be there. Sacks, tackles for losses should be there, especially after adding a guy like Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
It's incredibly frustrating to watch every play Kirk Cousins get 3.5-4 seconds to get the ball off. And then you know when he throws it, it's 17-plus yards.
Here's a stat from last year, this year, based on Nick Bosa, who has been very much a ghost this year. Nick Bosa last year, through the first, I believe, 7 weeks this season, he had 37 pressures and 8 sacks. Through this season, 36 pressures, 3.5 sacks.
Yep.
What the heck?
That's holdout.
How do you add Javon Hargrave to this defense and not get more sacks? How?
I guess we're seeing it. I guess we're seeing it.
I'm just confused. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Man, it was so frustrating. I'm happy. So coming into the game, the Vikings had no rushing touchdowns this year. I'm glad they didn't give up a rushing touchdown. I really thought they were going to. Twice they got within the 5, and I for sure thought it was over. But Niners... Niners defense held up there. The defense wasn't good, but I think we'd be overlooking the defense immensely if the offense was clicking and they scored 35 points.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I also think the defense is, and Steve Wilkes is definitely to blame, and my biggest gripe from the game was at the end of the first half with 16 seconds left, you call an all-out blitz against gunslinger Kirk.
That's exactly what I mean by the Steve Wilkes thing.
Yeah.
I was screaming at the TV.
I was so upset.
That was so mind-boggling to me. Why are you running the Madden play engage 8 that you do as a joke in Madden where you send everybody and you have 2-3 guys play man or zone deep. It's man deep. But I know that's not exactly what the play was. No time, though. I think the Vikings had one timeout.
Yeah.
Insane.
16 seconds left.
Why did they do that?
They're on the 40.
That drove me nuts. That drove me crazy that they would blitz like that. I would rather them play prevent defense and they get like 30 yards or something. Because you're not supposed to play prevent defense with that much time because you can dink and dunk on prevent where everyone's just super deep. Prevent is for protecting the goal line or protecting like a first down that's like 30 yards away. I do not understand sending a blitz when you're not getting home all day. It doesn't make any sense.
In fact, the Niners offense is trying to chew out all the rest of the first half clock so that the defense wouldn't go back out on the field.
Yeah,
and guess what? They go back on the field and have like 30 seconds. And guess what? Kirk throws a nice pass. It should have been picked off absolutely by Javarius Ward. But Jordan Addison rips it away, and guess what? He's gone to the house.
It was karma. It was payback for the one he ripped away.
It was total payback for it.
Dude. Oh, that sucks so
bad.
And that was
where the momentum swung again back to the Vikings.
I'm so
twice in the first half it swung to the Vikings.
Yeah, it just rips my heart out to lose a game like that. I mean, at least it's not divisional. At least,
and we haven't even gotten to Jake Moody yet.
I know we haven't even got to. Oh my God, we do our little Instagram lives after the game.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about Moody when we were doing that because he was not the biggest issue for me. But if he makes that field goal earlier on in the game that he missed,
yeah.
the Niners would only have to kick a field goal, and Brock wouldn't be throwing it like that
at the
end of the game.
No kidding.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda, who cares? But
explain to me how you're going to miss a 40-yarder 2 weeks in a row but make the 55-yarder.
At least he made the 55-yarder. I don't know. It's a head game when you're a kicker.
Yeah.
I'm feeling moody tonight. Kyle's right. I am feeling very moody.
Kyle's
in the chat.
Shout out Kyle Ledbetter in the chat. I appreciate you, my guy.
Dude, he's a storyline now, and that's not what we wanted.
No.
We thought that was good after our shaky preseason, to say the least.
Started 9-for-9 in the season after the shaky preseason, and guess what? Last two games, missed 3 kicks.
Man, important ones, too.
Important kicks. Important kicks.
It's not like Niners were up by 13 or something and he shanks one.
No. He missed big moment kicks.
Greg Joseph missed two, too. Extra point and missed the one at the end of the game.
I know. But
which is nice.
Minnesota and kickers never have a great relationship.
That's true, Blair. Moody. God, I hope he just gets his confidence back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all on him. Otherwise, it's going to be very interesting. It's tough to say, but there's bigger problems than Jake Moody right now.
There's bigger fish to fry, it seems.
But we gotta go to break here.
Yeah, and after the break, we're going to talk about the fish we got to fry, because the Niners, we're a week away from the trade deadline. John Lynch, it's time to make some moves. Get off your ass. It is time to make some moves. Yeah. They got to add some pieces. They got the cap space. Who are they going to add, though? Because they got to keep some of that for next year. We'll get that after the break. Return of the Empire, Sacktown Sports. I'm Milford Grosso, Nate Littlefield.
We stay live on YouTube, too, if you want to talk to us.
Hi, guys.
Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yes, sir. Back again. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Return of the Empire. Live show during the season, talking all things Niners. And it's an aggressive one for me and Nate, honestly. That's where I'm going to use aggressive, because we're angry. We're upset. We're mad. And I'm not even a Niners fan. Nate is. I'm not. But I'm upset with the Niners because after 5 weeks, we declared them the best team in the NFL. And since then, they have looked like dog water. They just have. And there's no mincing words on it.
On both sides of the ball.
Both sides of the ball. All three levels. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But they all look. Debo got hurt and everything went to hell. I don't know.
I mean, Trent's out.
Trent's out.
We didn't even mention injuries. There's so much going on with this team right now. It's so frustrating. It's just carousel. Yeah. I'm glad this. We're not talking about this Trey Lance thing or anything. Like, I'm glad.
Thank goodness.
All that's gone.
Thank goodness the quarterback controversy thing is gone, because we can't debate. Like, is it Darnold time? We're not going to do that now, are we?
No, but I don't think. I mean, crazy people might think that. But I don't think that that's anywhere near where it should be. But that leads me into positives. We have to take some positives away. It's healthy for me.
Okay.
I need to. This is my therapy as a Niners fan. Okay. I need to look at some positives from this game. So I got out all my anger.
What are your positives,
Nate?
That's
not true. I think Brock played well until the very end.
Yeah.
Which was the opposite of last week.
Yeah.
Last week, he looked cruddy until that last drive where he put them in position to kick a field goal to win.
Yep.
Jake missed it. This week, he looked good. The entire game was like predicting throws, was downfield, everything. He looked so calm. I was noticing when he would snap, he was just standing there just so melodic. Everything was so melodic.
Yeah, he's very
and
he'd collected.
Get the ball very calm. You see his eyes move. He knew all his checkdowns everywhere, read his routes, go through his progressions, all the classic cliches everyone says during the broadcast.
Yep.
But I was happy with his play. I was totally happy with his play until the end. When the first pick, it's his fault. It's bad. Yeah, Juwan got bumped off his route for sure. And I'm not saying that's elite. It was just.
Brock threw that thing out of desperation, though. Brock just threw
the
like,
first one or the like second one?
Both. But
the second one was way worse.
I think the first one was way worse.
Why is that?
Because he just threw it because he knew thought he was going to be there and didn't think.
Yeah.
But he didn't look. He just threw.
Yeah, but the second one. He threw it.
He's trying to make a play there, though.
There wasn't really a receiver in the area.
He made
the exact same throw twice for different reasons.
Yes.
To the same defender. Crazy.
Shout out Cameron Bynum.
No.
you're getting two picks.
Do not shout him out. This is a 49ers show. We're not shouting out the Minnesota Viking defensive back who picked off Brock Purdy twice, once to seal the game. We're not shouting him out. And that's crazy, Emil. Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
Hey, man, I recognize good football. That was good football.
He threw it right to him. He threw it right to him.
And you guys can see Nate's
face. How is
that
good
right
football?
You can see Nate's face. He is getting redder as a tomato right now.
It's crazy.
This is amazing. This is the podcasting content we always wanted.
This is not a podcast. This is a live show.
Well, this is the content we wanted.
This is the content. It's so frustrating.
I can just see it.
It's so frustrating.
Other positives. Kittle got back into the mix. Kittle looked good.
Kittle did look good.
Kittle looked good.
I was happy. Oh, man, I had his numbers right. It's really,
I got
I'm
it.
All over the place.
I got it. Five or 78 receiving for Kittle.
Yeah. He was involved heavily. You know, I wish Brock would go to him a little more and get plays where he even had a rush, actually.
Yeah.
A little jet sweep, which was a good play call for a first down.
It was.
Critical first down.
Yeah.
I guess everyone was critical for the Niners. But I wish we'd get him more throws where he could get some more yak going.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, especially without Debo, it's like...
Like how they used him in Seattle last year was excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
How Jimmy used him. That's why Kittle was so dominant.
But they needed him this year on the line to help out with Colton McKibbitz in the line struggles. That's kind of why he hasn't been using the routes as much.
Yeah, and I understand that. I totally understand that. They need it, but, I mean, Dwelly is not a bad blocker. He had a great catch on a screen.
Shout out. Oak Ridge
almost
alum.
Yeah, almost went a touchdown.
Oak Ridge alum Ross Dwelly, gotta love it.
Where's Oak Ridge?
Oak Ridge? El Dorado.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Oak Ridge High School.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
El Dorado Hills alum. Shout out Ross Dwelly. Love him.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that about my guy Ross.
Yeah.
Shout out Elk Grove Eric Armstead, who nowhere to be seen. He's not putting up stats. He was playing really well, Armstead, in the first few weeks. Mm-hmm. Big Eric Armstead fan over here. Like, how could you not
Eric's
be?
Eric's stats are a little more quantifiable in terms of, like, watching him play, though, because he does all the dirty work.
Exactly.
Like, he comes with really crucial tackles.
He's the Justin Smith to Nick Bosa's Alden Smith.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, actually.
The cowboy, Justin Smith.
There you go.
Oh, anyways.
Anyways.
How do I transition into more good things for
the
night?
Are there more good things?
Jake Moody's 55-yarder. That was good. It was good.
Kyle, they made it through without any serious injuries.
Well, it was cool that Shanahan was like, yeah, they made it through injuries, yeah. But the fact that Shanahan's like, yep, go kick that 55-yarder. Go for it. Just do it.
It's such a big vote of confidence for that kid.
It's good coaching.
Such a big vote of confidence. I was like, are you sure about this, Kyle? And then it went through, and I was like, okay, good
he's
work.
He's got it. I mean, I don't
blame him. You kind of have to,
How do you feel about Shanahan right now?
I don't think it's Kyle Shanahan's fault.
I don't either.
I really don't. That's the least of their concerns.
Yeah, I am a big Shanahan defender.
Yes.
A lot of people give him a lot of crud. A lot of people are like, he should be a Nazi.
There have been reasons in the past to give him some slack. There have. I can't lie that. He struggles come from behind.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's done so much for this franchise.
Yeah.
And I know it's what have you done for me now? But,
think about what happened before he got there with Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly.
That was barely... barely coaching, but whatever, man.
You want to go back to the dark days? We can do that.
I don't want to do that.
We're not going to do that.
I mean, we're in the dark days. We're in a dark day.
Dark days, and it's actually a pretty good spot to be considering where they used to be in the 2010s.
Yeah, I know that. Listen, we don't need to talk about those teams.
No.
The 15 to 19 season... That sucked. That was 4 years. It felt like 20 for me. But I mean, positives. Do you have any more positives?
Anything? I really don't. I have no more positives.
Yeah.
I'm like out.
Bad
penalties. Jalen Moore played well. The left tackle played pretty well, actually, in filling for Trent.
O-line was fine, except in the run game, it was okay. McCaffrey seemed to kind of get back into his stride.
And this, I don't think it's a McCaffrey thing, but this is something really, the last 3 weeks, he's averaging 3.4 yards a carry.
Yeah, what happened?
The O-line. I think it's the O-line struggling.
Okay.
I think they're struggling to win the line of scrimmage. I think that's a big issue and why I need to address that going up to the trade deadline.
Well, a big thing for him is the outside sweep runs. Those breakaways, those are what break away.
They're not getting those blocking. They're not getting the blocks for him to go to the second level.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. But the second level blocks will be, well, without Debo, those blocks, it's harder. But Ayuk makes a lot of those blocks.
Juwan's there. Really
Ray Ray can do it. Yeah. So, man, there's just so many issues right now. Do you want to, let's get into some trades.
Yeah.
Potential, where do they need to be bolstered? Why do they need to be bolstered there? Who fits in? What are you thinking?
We're going to do this by position. I have a list of 10 targets I'm going to include in the article tomorrow, and this conversation will be included in that article, so on SacktownSports.com.
What position's the most important?
In my opinion, for the Niners, I think it's cornerback. Honestly, yep. I think it's cornerback.
I'm on your side. Yeah. There needs to be some fear in the secondary.
There needs to be to bring someone else in, because the combination of Mooney Ward, D'Amador Lenore, and Ambry Thomas, Isaiah Oliver is not getting it done. Clearly.
No.
Not getting it done. They are struggling and getting torched by defenses over and over again. Their secondary is very weak, and it was something last year that was a concern in the playoffs, and it got exposed a couple times on big explosive plays. But because of the front, they were able to limit those. But when the front's not getting home, the secondary gets exposed very often.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so frustrating to watch for me that this elite D line on paper not get home and create minimal pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a veteran guy like Kirk Cousins. I mean, I've been saying this every week too. I laid it out during the Stafford with the Rams.
Yeah.
They got a veteran quarterback who could get it out quick and who knew how to beat a tough D line and who could pick apart our corners.
Yeah.
And that was the blueprint to beat the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Still is. I believe Kirk followed that well. They kept the D line out of the game for the most part, and that's how they did
it. So yeah, let's talk cornerback really quick on some targets.
Yeah.
There are two options I think that are very realistic for them at cornerback. And that's Kenny Moore II from the Indianapolis Colts and cornerback Jalen Johnson from the Chicago Bears. One of them is more likely than the other, because I think Kenny Moore is much more attainable than Jalen Johnson, who just got a pick six against the Raiders last game, and is a lot younger. Kenny Moore, though, I think is a great person to have. Leads the NFL in tackles at the position with 36 already on the year. Probably one of the best slot corners in the NFL, and that's a position of need for the Niners, a slot corner.
Yeah, because some of the best receivers play in slot.
Yep.
I mean, you could see it yesterday. Jordan Addison was all over the field. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't 20, matter.
28 years old, almost 29. I believe on the last year or two of his deal with the Indianapolis Colts, a very great locker room guy, teammate, just overall captain of that Colts defense. And they're kind of on a purgatory zone, the Colts. So if you want to throw, I don't know, a third rounder and a sixth, you could probably get Kenny Moore right now.
Yeah, I would think so, right?
Yeah.
The Colts are kind of in a really weird spot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have their guy, their quarterback, who they want to bring along, and obviously if he's there, you want him to win, right?
Yeah.
You want him to win. You want him to learn how to play at the NFL level, all that.
But he's out.
Yeah. Now you got Gardner Minshew in, and he can win you games, right? I mean,
sometimes
you've seen that. Yeah. They should have won against the Browns.
Sure.
But they're in limbo, right? As their guy gets healthy, much like the Niners in 2018.
Yep.
Where Jimmy goes down and you have a good team, but that turned into Nick Bosa. So what do you want to do if you're the Colts then? Do you want to just tank hard or, try to get some picks, send your decent guys away? But 28 is older. So
I think Chris Ballard would definitely, their GM, would definitely look at getting some picks back for their aging veterans, because they have a very high cap floor already. And I think if they're not in serious contention, I think trading a guy like Kenny Moore, who is not the same at the same level he was in a couple of years prior, obviously, but he's still really good overall at 68.8 PFF grade, and a guy who would immediately challenge D'Amador Lenore for that second spot.
As he should. Demo needs some challenge.
He does.
Man, he's not really coming along like you most Niners fans were hoping. He really has plateaued.
He's had moments, but they kind of plateaued a little bit too.
Yeah, talent-wise, he's not reaching new heights or anything. He's an okay player, but it's not working if especially the pass rush is getting home. I think really, I mean, it's going to stem from coaching adjustment with the D line. I don't know what that will entail. I don't like heavy blitzing.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work. Look at the Giants this year. I mean, the Vikings, I guess it worked out all right for them. Against us, they blitz pretty heavy. I think over 50% or something crazy.
Through the Vikings?
Yeah.
They blitz more than that.
Yeah.
They blitz like 80% the game prior to the Niners. They're the most heavily blitzed team in the NFL. Like, they blitz the most.
Yeah.
Even more than the Giants do.
I don't know what the answer is, but the D-line needs
to be of that, they got to also address the offensive line. I think that's also something they need to add. They need to add some sort of swing tackle or swing guard. Now, I have two options for him. We talked about this guy last week, Chris Hubbard, right tackle at Carolina Panthers, as well as guard Ezra Cleveland out of the Minnesota Vikings, who was hurt, actually, this game. But he has been very, very good this year, and a guy who can definitely come in and fill in for, I don't know, Spencer Burford, you know, Colton McKivitz, Aaron Banks if he's banged up. They just need more people. Right.
Do you think Minnesota would trade with the 49ers?
I do.
Yeah.
And I think John Lynch talking with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah for 20 minutes on the sideline pregame, I think that said a lot.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. See, that's why I love your insight. This is why I love being on the show. You got insight. Like I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So, and I can't even pronounce that name.
First of all, former 49ers executive Kwesi, I should just mention that, was with the Niners for a couple of years. So they have a previous relationship, which obviously has helped in the past. Rand Carthon with the Titans, Amico Ryan with the Houston Texans. Always helps to have friends in the industry. What does that tell you to have a 20-minute conversation with someone prior to kickoff?
Yeah.
Between the executives. That means they're either talking just catching up or they're talking business as well. And I think it was a mixture of both.
Yeah.
I do think they're looking at the Vikings as, hey, if you guys lose this game, you'll be 2-6 or 2-5, I should say. Is there an option? Can we get one of your guys? Can we get a Daniel Hunter? Can we get all this other stuff? Now, it makes it more complicated that they lost to the Vikings and they're now 3-4 because now they're going to try and win the NFC North.
Yeah.
So that's why it's going to make it harder to get these trades. So that's why it's a little more unlikely. But if they're going to look at a guy like Ezra Cleveland, who is a guard but was injured last game and should be okay, that's still possible because they have a guy in Dalton Reisner who did very, very well in replacement for him.
I'm seeing reports. I don't know how true it is, and I'm just saying I'm seeing reports without citing a source here. I see it on Bleacher Report and ESPN and stuff. The potential of the 49ers adding Davante Adams.
No, stop this.
No. I don't think there'd be a reason for that or a point to that.
Stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just respectfully.
Like, what do you send away? Do you send Ayuk?
Why would you trade Ayuk?
Yeah, I don't. It's just for Davante Adams.
His contract is so massive as it is; it's not happening. Yeah. The Niners are not going to trade for massive contracts. They need the cap room they create to roll over to next year to pay other guys. Mm-hmm. They got to pay Tauno Funga, so they got to pay Brandon Ayuk next year. There are other players they have to pay. They already have an expensive cap bill. They cannot afford to trade for these guys on multi-year expensive deals.
So no blockbusters trade deadline because I think it's tinker moves.
Maybe one, but like on an expiring deal. Not one that they'd set up for a big, big, big deal later on because they can't afford to make any more big deals.
Yeah. How many more years does Davante have?
I believe like three.
Okay. Interesting.
I think two or three.
Do you think he's dealt at the deadline at all?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think as long as Josh McDaniels is in charge, we're not going to do anything. Because he's not that great.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
He's not that great.
I have a lot of other things to say about that team.
We got to go to break here.
Yeah. We got to go to break. When we come back, I'll give one more example of a player the Niners can trade for, as well as previewing week 8 against Cincinnati Bengals at home. Return of the Empire, Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Welcome back. Return of the Empire. It's Agro Music Day. It's emo time. We're upset. We're mad. Niners dropping another game. What's going on, boys?
You're asking the wrong guy. Their defensive line. I could say that over and over again.
The offensive kicker, line, the
throwing
kicking.
Interceptions, fumbling, coaching, Kirk Cousins.
Gut punch time, man.
Gut punch. I don't know, dude. I'm upset. That's why I'm listening to Holy Wars.
Anyway, Return of the Empire live show during the season. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield. Kyle Ledbetter is at home, but in the YouTube chat, if you want to watch our pretty faces, Nate make finger guns, apparently.
I do that every week.
At the camera. Join the YouTube chat, Sacktown Sports, sacktownsports.com. We're just talking trades because the Niners need to make a move. And we mentioned some on the other side of the break, but I got one more.
Okay.
One more before we preview this game.
Yeah.
And it's one that I think they don't need, but everyone keeps talking about this, and it's the pass rush. And it's Do we add another piece to this puzzle of pass rush for Chris Kocurek?
Man, if he's not doing magic with this, what he's got now, it's like, what is Moore going to do, you know?
I know.
It's like just adding another scoop of ice cream to the sundae.
You can never have enough ice cream.
Finish what you have right now.
Yeah.
If you're lactose intolerant.
True. Anyway, there are two options. One more realistic than the other one, obviously. I think one of them is defensive end Montez Sweat. I think Montez Sweat would be a very nice addition for the Niners. A younger player going into the fifth year of his deal last year, so he would be a free agent after this year. Very low cost. You can get him probably from the Washington Commanders because they're not a very good team. You can get him for a pretty good price, maybe a third, fourth round pick. Not much. It wouldn't take much to get him, though, honestly.
No, it's hard to argue with that. Like, even if you brought up, like, Brian Burns or something, just, like, great pass rushers, it's like, yeah, of course I want those guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to argue against it. I just don't know what is, like... I do think Randy Gregory has been solid for the 2 weeks he's been here.
He has been.
He's been the one I've been seeing get in there and do some damage. I don't know if adding another guy will help, even if it is Montez Sweat. I almost said elite talent. I don't know if he's elite, but
he's a very good pass rusher. He is 76.5 PFF rate. Two forced fumbles to his tied for second so far in the NFL. Seven sacks already as well. He's been getting to the quarterback. There's a guy you need to add as like a rotational guy next to Nick Bosa or Randy Gregory or whatever. Montez would be a good guy to get.
You think they can get him for a fourth and a fifth? Is that what you said?
I think they can get him for fourth and a fifth.
Yeah.
I think the Commanders aren't very well run.
I feel that is a good trade in the Niners' favor. I don't know if Washington would do that per se. I feel like they'd be asking for more. It's of course, I would love that trade, but yeah. I just want to see corner.
I agree. The other one I was going to throw out was defensive end Danielle Hunter for the Minnesota Vikings, but I think that's kind of blown out the window now. The Vikings have beaten the Niners.
Yeah.
If the Niners beat the Vikings, I think they can easily trade for Danielle Hunter.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, isn't it?
Are we thinking like GMs or are we thinking like fantasy football GMs?
I'm thinking just like in general, like a GM. Look, Chris McCaffrey got traded for a bunch of picks last year.
Running back, though.
Yeah, but it's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
It's still Christian McCaffrey. Like, it's still a guy. Randy Gregory got traded for a bag of chips.
Yeah.
And Denver took on all his money.
Yeah. Randy Gregory.
It's about the player, yes, but it's also about the situation.
External issues with Randy Gregory that have since been solved. Man, it's... I'm having a hard time today. I really am. I'm stumbling over myself. I keep saying, man, and it's making me sick, but I'm just stumped on this team.
Yeah.
And I'm stumped. It's hard that this is my job now where I have to talk. This is an issue I have. And I talked to my dad and my girlfriend about it. And it's like, they lose. And now I got to go into work the next day and talk about how they lose and why they lose and why they're bad. And it makes me so sad.
It's so sad.
It sucks. I'm such a fan. I love the Niners so much. I want to see them win a Super Bowl before I die. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Especially when you're getting flat out beat like Kyle Shanahan said. And we have some audio, actually, from that. Nate, I don't know if you have it.
I haven't prepped it yet.
No worries.
No, I'm sorry.
We can get to that audio another time. No worries. But before we get there, we got to preview some Bengals. Right, we got to preview Week 8. We got the Niners, after losing these two games on the road, and again, road games are hard to win, but there are other issues at hand. And now the Niners have, before they go into their Week 9 bye, the Cincinnati Bengals at home. This feels so much like the Kansas City Chiefs last year, Week 7 before the bye, where this could be very bad. This could go very, very badly. Or it could be a statement comeback win where they still prove that they are a very talented team. Now, the Bengals are coming off a bye week of their own. Is that helping them or making it worse, Nate?
Well, for the Browns, it made it worse for the Niners.
Yeah.
Because they had that extra week to prep.
They did.
And they had P.J. Walker. And I don't know if you know this, Joe Burrow is a lot better than P.J. Walker.
Yes.
And I'm very, 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 very worried about the Burrow Chase connection and how the Niners will defend that.
Why? Because he's 7-Eleven always open.
Oh man, is 7-Eleven always open?
7-Eleven is. It's supposed to be always open.
Why is it called 7-Eleven?
That's a great question. YouTube chat. If you know why it's called 7-Eleven, please put it in the chat. why it's called 7-Eleven.
Anyways.
But Ja'Marr Chase is always open. He's been fantastic since he got to the NFL. And they got a lot of other talent. Obviously, Joe Mixon, their running back, their longtime running back's been there. T. Higgins is still there. Tyler Boyd is still there. Orlando Brown's their left tackle. They got a good right tackle in Jonah Williams. Alex Kappa's there. They got a great pass rush with Trey Hendrickson. Logan Wilson's an underrated linebacker. They're a very complete team. And Lou Anarumo really calls up the schemes.
I'm honestly, like, of course I'm scared of Burrow and Chase, but they have a good run game. Joe Mixon through six games, 366 yards. That's almost 4 yards per carry. Only one touchdown this year, but it's I guess only one rushing touchdown for their entire team. But I know their run game is better, and that's not that hard when it comes to beating Minnesota's run game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know
how they're going to stop them if they're going to play like they did the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We might get Super Niners first 5 weeks.
You might. But it's a bag of tricks right now. You just don't know what you're going to get right now with this Niners team because the Bengals are not a team you can lay over and roll over on because the Bengals have shown year after year, even though Joe Burrow goes through all these injuries and all these weird procedures, that he comes back and comes out stronger. And this is a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
His stats, looking directly at his stats, too, they're a little inflated. I guess I'd say deflated because he played so far most of the year with a calf strain.
Yeah.
Seems like that's gone. See, so, like, you look at his stats, 7 TDs, 4 interceptions, right? That's
pedestrian for him.
Pedestrian, but his last few games, he's been lights out. I mean, he's back to being Joe Cool.
Yeah.
He's been sacked 14 times, which has always been a knock on the Bengals, is their O-line.
Mm-hmm.
Which they still haven't fixed.
It's not amazing, but it's probably better than the Niners right now.
They brought in Orlando Brown, right, if I'm not mistaken? That was their big offseason signing, which was a great signing.
At the time. But he struggled initially. Look, this Bengals team is coming up a week 6 win over the Seahawks 17-13. That's their last game. And it was a close game against Seattle Seahawks. It was tough, but the Bengals hung in there and came away with a victory. Now, the stats didn't light you up. Joe Burrow was 24 for 35, 185 passing, 2 TDs, 1 interception. Mixon Henley had 38 yards rushing. The receivers didn't get that going, but they hung in there. They won a tough game against an NFC West opponent. It's definitely game in the Seattle Seahawks, and that means something. That means something. The Bengals are going to get to now play the Niners, and they look at them and go, hey, this might be the time to catch the Niners. They're really struggling right now. We got to take it to them.
You just hope the Niners are playing desperate like the Vikings did.
They got to play desperate.
They got to pull out all the bag of tricks. You know for a fact Debo's not playing. You can expect to see Debo, most likely. I don't think we've even mentioned it this whole show.
You want to talk about the Debo thing?
So last week we knew he was injured. We didn't know the extent. Hairline, so from what I understand, I watched my guy Lombardi, who I mention every week, David Lombardi, from The Athletic. He mentioned that Debo Samuel was going through pain. Mm-hmm. All week, he got a CAT scan, he got an MRI. They didn't find anything, but he was still hurting. So he's like, all right, what's up with this? So they recommend he got an X-ray, I believe.
He had an X-ray, had an MRI.
Oh, I got him mixed up.
He did, yes. You were close, though.
Yeah, and then he got a CAT scan.
Then he got a CT scan.
Okay.
Which is a 3D image of the joints and the bone, in the body.
Uh-huh.
And it shows kind of where the specific injuries are within the body and kind of the ligaments and stuff. And that revealed the hairline fracture in his shoulder.
Yeah. So hairline fracture, which is, not a big deal. It happens. The expectation for him, I guess right now, is to be back week 10 after the week 9 bye. So that's 3.5 weeks off for Debo.
Yeah.
If you include practice. Great. Get him back. Get him back. Get him healthy.
Yes.
Health has always been the issue with this team.
But what if it's longer than the week 9 bye? They're not putting him on IR yet, but what if it is?
I don't know.
It's a hairline shoulder fracture. You don't know what can happen with that. It's a small fracture, yes, but it's still something that has to heal, and usually fractures take 6 weeks to heal.
I think we're going to find out. Something's going to happen at the trade deadline. Something's going to happen, I think. I don't know. I think we might be surprised. Because we're talking about Debo, we're talking about receiver.
I've been waiting for it.
So, what's cool is that our show, 1 week from today, will be live on this show on Halloween.
After the trade deadline.
On Tuesday, right after the trade. What time is the deadline? 3? Our time? Or is it 12 our time?
I think it was 4 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
So 1 o'clock, I think.
So 1 o'clock. Okay, cool. So we'll be able to dissect it and kind of talk about it and figure it out. But we'll be doing... That'll be a very spooky episode.
Ooh!
That'll be the scariest episode. Especially if the Niners lose.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started.
I might be a ghost by then.
I might be a ghost by then.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, this Niners team... We're talking all doom and gloom, right? What if they just revert back to their normal state? What if they just revert back to what they were the first 5 weeks of the season? And they come out and they kick ass against the Bengals. Is that possible?
No, it's possible. It's possible, but I mean, it even could happen. I don't even think I'd be shocked if that happened. I would just be disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. And that's because they are now tied with the Lions. They are not number one anymore like the stupid Eagles are. So they've really kind of screwed themselves when it comes to their position in the standings, which is important when you're a quote-unquote superpower team, which they were for the first 5 weeks, mm-hmm. and now I'm super, man, just distraught about these last two games.
I just don't know where to go with it, and you can't feel confident against anyone right now because they don't look like the same team. And the Bengals, they steadily get better as the year goes on. Now, I do think that Kyle Shanahan has a number on Zach Taylor. I do think that he's able to scheme against it because they're on that same kind of branch, under that same mold of coaching staff. And he's been able to have success over his predecessors beforehand. But the Bengals, you just look at it like a talent-on-talent like matchup. It's the best one yet for the Niners. It's the toughest test besides Dallas.
I mean, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, those are great
receivers.
They're
going to throw across the yard.
Yeah, those are great receivers. It's, dude, like even Irv Smith, their tight end. I don't know. I just, man.
Yeah,
we got Pike mentioning those multi-interception games. I don't think any of those were recent, though, were they? Those were during the injury.
I believe so. And he hasn't looked amazing. Like he still struggled a little bit against the Seahawks, but I do think he's much more healed up. He's much more mobile than he was the first few weeks of the season. I think that really helps.
He has not had any multi-interception games this year, but he has thrown an interception in every single game except for Tennessee, which was a big loss for them.
Yes.
That was, I think, maybe the peak of his injury. Well, it's hard to tell, but they... I'm not looking forward to the Niners playing them. I'm not coming off a bye. They're going to be healthy. It's going to hopefully they can just bounce back.
But here's the thing. They need this win so bad. They need this win so bad. And that's what you didn't want to come to this because going into the bye week, you're like, okay, 6-2, you know, 7-1. That's fine. Whatever. But now they have a risk of going 5-3 into the bye week after starting 5-0 in the season. That'd be a nightmare situation for them going into the bye week.
No, and before the season, me and you talked about, like, all right, Brock will probably be out the first four games, right? And if they can go 2-2 in that stretch, you know, maybe beat the Rams in that stretch, that'll be good. And then, you know, by the bye week, maybe they'll be 5-3, and that would be awesome. Expectations change.
Yeah.
This was the Kings last year. Expectations change. Kings' expectations were, I don't know what they were last year. They were there were hopes more than expectations.
Hey, can we make the play-in tournament?
Yeah, play-in. Yeah. And
yeah.
then it's like, oh, can we get the number one seed? Oh, just expectations change.
Can we win the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, seriously. So, Niners, just I'm so disappointed and sad in the way they've been playing. I didn't know if you knew that. I haven't mentioned that 7,000 times this show. But it's going to be another tough one for the Niners this week. Do you have a I guess we just do our predictions.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, we got about a minute and a half.
This is the first time all season, okay, I'm not jotting down, that I am picking the Niners to lose a game. They will lose this game to the Cincinnati Bengals at home. They will lose it 35-24.
Okay, I'm staying positive. Niners 32, Bengals 26.
Close game, but they can win it. Yeah, high scoring game, yes. I do think their offense is going to have to step up and win this game. Because I think the defense is still going to struggle a little bit, and Joe Burrow is going to have a good game.
Yeah, I don't even know everyone needs to step up.
They all have to.
I need to see Jake Moody make field goals.
He made one.
I know. I can't see him miss. I'm so sick of seeing him missing it. It's only been 2 weeks, but in the preseason, but that is not good.
No.
It's not good for, it's good for my sticky note bet, but I didn't want that sticky note to
be
right.
No.
No.
We didn't even talk about kickers. Is there a kicker out there you'd want to, like, sign right now? Like, You calling Robbie?
Where's Zane Gonzalez at?
Is Zane healthy again?
That's true. Yeah. Well, I gotta try to stay positive.
We're gonna try and stay positive.
I gotta try and stay, but we gotta get out of here. Yeah. Appreciate everyone listening. Appreciate the YouTube chat. Mm-hmm. I know I yelled. I'm sorry. Sorry if I yelled.
We both yelled.
Yeah, got emotional. You know.
But yeah.
It's my therapy, guys, and unfortunately, you have to listen. So
you do. Yes. Return to the Empire. We'll be back next week, same time, Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. As well as check out this weekend, new show, the True Sports Card Show with me, as well as Emran Pilati, True Sports Cards and Collectibles. We're starting that this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., so tune in for that. Nate, as well, I believe, is going to be doing the board on that. So Nate will be there as well for that. But until next week, Return to the Empire. Go Niners. Hope for a win. You never know, though. We'll be back next week, though, to talk about it. I'm Milford Goso, Nate Littlefield. See ya.